This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Hello everyone, and welcome to edition 149 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/NRF1. My name is sports journalist and sometime F1 correspondent Michael Bailey, and in this podcast we are going to discuss all the latest F1 news as well as your bits and pieces in tweets and social. We're not going to go on and on though, I promise. It's going to be bite-sized because as soon as we've knocked this into shape, we'll be back with our Chinese Grand Prix preview and then separately again our China predictions. That's our new plan. Anyway, joining me on the pod for tonight's F1 fun are current Prediction League champion and our old school F1 champion too, Steve Rust. Are you happy with that, Steve, as an introduction?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, what's the old school bit? What does that refer to?
You like old school racing, refueling, old teams, history, old F1.
I think you're referring to the first time that I won the Prediction League.
That's true. Well, you see, Kyle is the oracle. That's where it gets sticky. It won't just be the two of us, though. We have motoring journalist David Tillier on the phone when we ring him. So, I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Nothing. Nothing at all. Steve, how have you been? You've been away. You've been having fun and enjoying yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's been good getting some early sun in March, or last month, because it's now April. But I've been away in Rome. Had a good 4 days. It was nice. Unfortunately, I missed the Grand Prix. And when I booked it, I didn't realise that was when the season started. It's not the best of plans there. But yeah, been good. I haven't actually really seen the first race yet, apart from highlights.
So you still have the sort of the glow, don't you, of the pre-season glow?
I do. I mean, the last thing I looked... Well, I mean, apart from the highlights, the last thing I properly looked at was really sort of the pre-season testing.
Now, so you went to Italy for a few days and then Ferrari won in Melbourne. Is it a coincidence?
Who knows? Who knows? We'll let the audience judge.
Yeah, that's a fair play. It's a fair play. You haven't come in a Ferrari shirt or anything today, so you know.
I don't own one.
You don't own one. No. Do you own any Formula One shirts?
No. They're sort of not really my sort of thing to walk around in a. If you work for them, then fair enough, I would. But no, that's just never really been my cup of tea. If you know what I mean.
Do you have any Formula One clothing memorabilia?
I've still got my ticket from and pass from the 2011 Monza Grand Prix. I've still got that at home and all of the literature, but I think that's... Oh, and I've actually still got a little bit of the tyres that... What's they called?
The marbles.
Marbles. I actually got that. I got that from the Monza GP.
You've got a marble from Monza?
Yeah, I still got that, yeah.
A Monza marble, wow. Yeah. Is it in a glass case or anything?
No, I think it's just in some jar in my spare bedroom, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. Wow. We'll have to give it away as a prize one day.
Yeah, I'd give that away for a prize.
Would you? Would you?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to keep it.
If it's a charity.
Are we a charity? I don't know if we're a charity.
Well, no, but if we had a charity or something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Charity auction. Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be like prize possession. Oh, he's such a good boy, Steve. Great stuff. Right, okay, well, and it's enough talk about Monza marbles. Let's get stuck into this the actual podcast dealing, shall we? This is the news. We're going to try and bring you the latest Formula One news if we can. Well, I say latest, I mean literally this happened during the week, but it's not like breaking news now. But the first thing I wanted to get stuck into is Formula One has basically decided to ditch all its current Formula One engine regulations in by the time 2021 comes along and go back to what it has described as cheaper, noisier alternatives. So something less hybrid, less turbo, you imagine, more noisy, less worried about fuel saving and all this shenanigans. I mean, it's a complete retrograde step to where Formula One has obviously decided to go, trying to make it more enjoyable but less relevant. Where do you see all this, Steve? Because some would look at it and think, well, it's great news that Formula One has decided to do that. Others will look at it and go, why don't they just make up their minds?
My thoughts are very much with your second. It's just chaos. I mean, it's just like, you don't, from one season to the next, you don't know what ridiculous or not changes are going to be implemented, you know, for the present or the future. But I mean, we spent all of this money and time and development on these engines and this spec, and then we're gonna, and they're complaining that it's become too expensive, and some have quite rightly pointed out and said, what do you expect? But then on the other flip side, you can argue it's Formula One, you know, it's meant to be the pinnacle of motorsport, so they should be up there with the latest, you know, developments in engineering and things like that. But we're now going to spend a heap load more money, you know, as smaller teams have really got no chance, and any newer teams coming in, I mean, hopefully we can hang on to the manufacturers, otherwise we're just going to end up with a very shrunk down grid. I think it's just crazy.
It seems so hard. I don't know. It's such a hard philosophical debate that Formula One has to have and keeps having. And even just raising the spectre on our Twitter feeds and on Facebook, both handles are at the NRF1 if you want to give them a look. Some people will say, look, they need simpler engines. That's the way that things should go. And then others will be, well, this is holding the relevance. We love the technology. We love Formula One pushing the boundaries, as opposed to others who will want just the pure racing and, oh, why do we want them driving spaceships? Let's just see the drivers push to the limit. We are obviously talking about 2021, so we're talking quite a way off in the future. And as Jean Todt has said, they haven't got any handle of what this will actually manifest into. It's just the fact that it will be a broad ideas of what they'll aim at. And clearly Ross Brawn would have had a influence in this, because this backs up a lot of what he said since he got involved with Liberty and back in Formula One.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously changes that are going to be happening, especially with someone like Ross Brawn coming in, you know, Bernie stepping to one side and new owners wanting to take the sport in different and new directions. But I mean, just a finer point, I think Formula One should stay as what the original, you know, initiative of Formula One was. Pinnacle of motorsport. It should be promoting the latest in technologies and designs, you know, because it's everything starts at Formula One, it works its way down to eventually to your road car, you know. It should stay that way. I don't see why we need to be sort of going back to something from 20 years ago, say, you know, when you can then look at Le Mans or 24-hour racing Le Mans and go, well, no, that's actually more the pinnacle of motorsport than Formula One is, and that's not what it's meant to be. So I'm all for keeping modernised, keeping up to date, and keeping with the latest things. I don't want to ditch back to the past.
Great stuff, Steve. Great stuff. All right, I tell you what, let's get motoring journalist David Tillier on the phone, shall we? Hello, that's David Tillier, is it? You're alive on the NRF1 podcast. Please do not swear.
Hello, how are you doing?
He can hear us. Good, DT, how are you? Are you still cooking your chicken?
No, I've eaten it.
Wow, that was quick. Me and Steve are both looking at our watches. That must have been about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I rushed it down.
What a star. We are currently discussing the latest Formula One news at the moment, DT, and we've just been talking about the FIA release. Well, I don't know actually where it came from in the end. I suppose they all had a dibs on it. In terms of the cheaper engines, noisier engines they have proposed for 2021 and ditching all the turbos and all the fuel saving. And what do you make of it all?
So I think it's a good move. It's typical of Formula One. It gives something a go. It seems like they've been running these engines for 5 minutes and now they're going, let's do something else. Which is sort of a bit half really, but at the same time, can we get what we want out of these engines? Are they too complicated? Should we have something a bit something simpler? I don't know, because on the one hand, yes, if there was more parity between the engines, more parity between the teams, closer racing, that would be exactly what we want. But at the same time, Formula One is a technical, like a pinnacle of motorsport. So don't we want complicated engines in the pinnacle? I don't know where I sit. I'm entirely on the fence at the moment.
You're literally arguing with yourself there, DT. And I mean, so we've had Steve's pinned his colours to the mast. He likes the idea of F1 being the pinnacle of motorsport. But it is such a philosophical debate for the sport to get its head around, isn't it? And it almost needs to make its mind up, I suppose.
Yeah, it does smack of that, doesn't it? They've decided that they were going to go smaller, hybrid, blah 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 blah. It's going to be, show the world that Formula One is advanced and green and whatever it is that they were trying to achieve. I'm not entirely sure. On the other hand, now they're doing a flip on that. And as a fan, the V10s and the V8s were fantastic. I mean, the V10s were superb. They sounded fantastic, and they did the job very, very well. But as I'm sure Steve has probably said, we want Formula One to be a technical highlight as well as a motorsport highlight. And are these cheaper engines going to give us that? I don't know.
We don't know, and we're going to have to wait another 4 years before we even get close to finding out, but that's part of the fun, of course. A couple of other bits of news we wanted to touch on. The FIA has announced, probably because they've got wind that there's going to be an NRF1 Hall of Fame, Norfolk Hall of Fame in the pipeline, the FIA are going to do their own Hall of Fame, a motoring Hall of Fame, I presume, covering all sorts of different formulas. Steve, what did you make of that? Excited? Is it about time? How have we not got one already?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing, is this sort of a Liberty sort of media sort of thing? That
it looks like it's come through the FIA, so and this is Jean Todt. Jean Todt's probably getting all the things done that he wanted to get done while Bernie was still there but couldn't.
Perhaps so, yeah. I mean, it's why not? It's all great, I mean, Formula One does need a bit of a facelift, I think, in some areas, so why not?
Yeah. Looks like it's going to be all sorts of Formula One. All sorts of motorsport. I get that impression. Have you seen this, DT?
What's this again? Sorry.
It's the chicken's gone to your head. A FIA Hall of Fame later in the year to help celebrate motor racing names past and present.
I have not seen it, to be perfectly honest with you. I did briefly look through the latest news to see if there's anything I've missed. There was a couple of bits, but that hasn't actually
hot off the press
my feed.
Oh.
So I'm learning of it live on the podcast.
Yeah, and give us four words of your immediate reaction.
About bloody time. I can't think of a fourth word.
I think that does it. That's perfectly right.
It makes perfect sense. Every other sport has it. Why not F1?
And even we have it, because we're doing it this year, the NRF1 Norfolk Formula One Hall of Fame. Don't laugh, it's a good one. And we'll be bringing you those over the course of the year. So, of course, the FIA needs one as well. It's ridiculous. One other little bit that came from Alex Wirtz. He reckons that Formula One needs to change its camera angles to make things look quicker. Steve, you're nodding in agreement, furrowed brow.
I was briefly scanned over that today at lunchtime. Did they mean the main cameras or the cameras on the cars?
The cameras in the cars certainly come up because they've started being a little bit more shaky, which makes everything feel faster. And I guess that's what we're trying to do, get across the illusion of things being quicker, even though actually they are quicker anyway, so that probably helps.
Yeah, I mean, a few years back, they did have the cameras that used to pan, didn't they? Sort of live as you saw it. And I quite like that, but then it quickly disappeared. So, maybe they need to sort of consider something like that or similar to that. I mean, give something different. Why not? I'm all for something different, change.
DT, how important is this?
I think it's very important. I think going to a race and watching it live is one thing, but for the vast majority of Formula One fans, we sit on a sofa or in a pub or wherever, watching the race. And there are times where you're watching it and you just don't get a feel for the speed. think a perfect example that I can think of recently is watching some of the fan footage from Australia this year, showing some of the cars going through like turn 11, absolutely belting through. But you never, or very rarely did you ever really get that sense of speed because of their cameras. They pan with the cars a lot rather than using some static shots. So, you know, if they kept the cameras, some of the cameras, a bit more static and let the car enter frame and exit frame without moving the camera, you'd get that impression of speed because you would see how fast the car is traveling. Whereas if you pan with the vehicle, with the car as it's going along, you negate some of that effect of speed because the camera is effectively moving at the same pace as the car relative to the viewer. So yeah, I think there could be some definite room for improvement there, and any change that makes it a bit more interesting is good for me.
Brilliant stuff, DT. There's one other thing I wanted to touch on. Of course, Formula One has launched another survey, a fan survey, to find out what the fans want to do. Now, this survey is open at the moment. I think if you go to f1survey.motorsport.com, you can fill it in. I don't know how long it takes. But actually, rather than talk about that, I want us to record us answering it as a group, answering the survey. So if we can do that, we will. And I don't think the results are going to be out until May, so hopefully over some point in April we can put out the podcast of us answering the survey, and we will put Formula One to rights live on the podcast, which I think is a good idea. So hold fire on that. But you guys have, I think, until the 6th, I think it is, or this weekend, to fill out the survey if you wish. Let me get some plugs out, shall I? If you want to listen to this podcast on your player of choice, all you need to do is visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe, and you'll be able to find your link to iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, whatever it is. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. The handle for both is @thenrf1. The address for Facebook is fb.me/thenrf1. And we will have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us, and sign up over the course of the 2017 season. Everything you need to know and all the blogs you want to read, got some great stuff on there from Callum Springle. Just visit nrf1.uk, and you can email us, get in touch, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like, and if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? Right, it's time for some tweets and social. We kind of touched on some of the social we had earlier, and hopefully we'll make a bigger play of this in future weeks. But let's primarily bring you this from Daniel Hall, our American listener. Good man, Daniel, as well. He's getting involved, which is great. He gives us his take on dear Richard Baxter predicting McLaren to finish on the podium and me suggesting Marcus Ericsson might have a good season. Here's Daniel.
Whichever one of you said that McLaren Honda are going to finish on the podium this year, either you are a wizard with a crystal ball or you're absolutely just plain crazy. I do not see them finishing on the podium at all, in any capacity, unless Fernando Alonso leaves the team in the middle of the year, goes to a better team, and then we might be talking. But definitely not with McLaren Honda. All they got to show for themselves right now are good drivers and shit cars and a nice paint job. That's all they've got going for them right now. And to top things off, I really think that this might be the year that Fernando finally decides to get out of McLaren Honda. And I also think that this is the year that Honda needs to just leave F1. They don't belong. They have a car that doesn't work, and I have no hopes for them. I'm standing by it. And for those of you that think Marcus Ericsson is going to do well, I disagree completely. Pascal Wehrlein, in my opinion, is a far more promising driver. He scored a point, I believe it was, in 2016. And I just think he's got more drive than Ericsson does. Ericsson's a little bit more about the glamour. Wehrlein is there to drive. Wehrlein wanted that top seat. He didn't get it with Mercedes. Bottas got it. However, I think within 5 years, because of Wehrlein's driving and his performance at Sauber, he will end up on Mercedes. That is my thought.
I'll take all of Daniel's points. That's absolutely fine. He does touch on Pascal Wehrlein, who we obviously didn't see him in the first race of the season. DT, is there anything more we need to read into these his injuries or where Pascal is at the moment? Or are we going to see more from him now and see him properly get his season up and running?
It's a difficult one for Pascal. I haven't read too much into what's going on. I have seen the headline that he will sit out another race. It's difficult because Giovinazzi, so I have to think about that before I say it.
nailed it.
Giovinazzi had a cracking race, and I think I have a feeling he's going to have a cracking race again in China. So it makes Pascal Wehrlein's position very difficult, because if this guy is coming in and delivering the goods, you know, if Sauber might turn around and go, well, actually, no, let's just keep him in for the car for the rest of the season and see how we get on. That's the risk. And we saw last year that teams are not afraid to swap drivers mid-season. So it's going to be difficult for Pascal to come back. Also having to, you know, he's going to be at least a couple of races behind all the other drivers. They're going to be up to speed with the way the new cars handle, how they perform when they're following other cars. He's definitely going to be on the back foot, I think, so it's difficult. But as far as his injuries go, I haven't read enough into it to make any comment.
DT, we're going to let you go there. We'll be back in touch when we talk about China on the next pod. So I'll speak to you in a bit.
Adios.
Cheerio. And he's gone. How about that? Steve, yeah, Pascal Wehrlein, it's an interesting one, isn't it? And it's funny because he may not have had any option but to miss out due to his fitness, but you miss out on a chance in Formula One. Someone, they're going to be very good people queuing up behind you to take that seat.
Yeah, you blink and it can be gone, can't you? I think he'll get other opportunities if this one goes. But I think this particular one, I think he's actually missed, because he hasn't got a great deal of experience behind him. I know he's still quite a newbie, but some of the others that are available there have had, you know, more experience than him. I think because of that unfortunate thing with his fitness, I think it's this season gone for him personally.
Big stuff, Steve, big stuff. Right, if you want to do what Daniel did, all you need to do is go and visit nrf1.uk. You'll see a red button under the podcast player. Click on there and you can record your audio and we can put it straight in the podcast. You can have your say and join us in the debate. Argue it, counter it, whatever you wish, and we can have a listen and put you on the podcast, just like Daniel. Okay, well, I think that's all the latest news. Just to say, there's loads on the podcast, so make sure you catch your feed. If you're hearing us for the first time, many thanks. Make sure you get subscribed, nrf1.uk/podsubscribe. They will all be the links that you need there. And if you get a few minutes, check out our brand new YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. And you'll be able to see our take on winter testing, or as it is now, why Sebastian Vettel uses his finger so much. From back in 2013, me and Ped, DT, pulling off our best Formula One driver impressions. That is all we had. Sorry. Right, we'll move it on to China in the meantime. Thanks to DT on the phone. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to have you back in. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Your China preview is on its way. Until then, goodbye.